13, and we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter, Genesis chapter 13, and we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter. Genesis chapter 13, and reading from verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, from the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also which went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separate themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if any man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow again the word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy mercy to us, and we pray that thou would speak even in thy word just now. We thank thee, Lord, for Abram, a man who had faith in thee, who trusted in thee, even though sometimes it looked as if he was taking the worst choice or taking the least part. Yet, O God, thou dost bless him, and thou dost make him a blessing in this world. And we pray that we might follow thee with all our hearts, no matter what it looks like or what it seems to be. O God, we pray that we might follow through with thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. The life of the patriarch Abraham is a life that is punctuated and highlighted by a number of appearances of the Lord of glory. On many occasions, the Lord Jesus came down to speak with Abram and to have fellowship with him. And on those occasions, invariably, Abram's life was changed and transformed. In fact, the first occasion when the Lord came to meet with Abram, that was the occasion of his salvation, way back in Ur of the Chaldees. God came and called him out of that place, and really that was Abram's salvation. He left behind his idolatry. And he left behind the old ways of life, and he became a servant and a follower of the Lord. In Genesis 18, we have another appearance of the Lord to his servant. On this occasion, there are three men who appeared on the plain of Mamre. Two of those were angels. The third was the Lord himself. And the reason why the Lord Jesus came to speak with Abram was to bring three messages. The first message was to reaffirm the promise of the covenant that Abram would have a son. The Second reason was to rebuke Abram's wife Sarah because of her unbelief, because she had laughed at such a thing. But there was another important reason why the Lord appeared to Abram on the plains of Mamre, and that was to tell Abram of the judgment that was to fall upon the cities of the plain, and specifically upon Sodom and Gomorrah, because those cities were exceeding wicked, and God's judgment was going to be visited upon them, and God was not going to disregard their sin or wink at their sin, but God was going to deal with their sin in judgment. But just before the sacred history focuses our attention upon that terrible judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah, it draws us off to get a picture of another individual, a relative of Abram. This man is his contemporary and his relation, his nephew Lot. This man was actually in Sodom when God dealt with it. He dwelt there. And as such, he was in great danger of the judgment that's going to come upon that city. Now, the Bible tells us that Lot was eventually delivered out of the judgment, and he was not visited by the fire and the brimstone or suffer loss of life. But though he didn't lose his own life, we will see that he nearly lost everything else. He lost his goods, he lost his position, he lost most of his family. And the last picture that we have of Lot in the sacred history is him drunk in a very distressing and disgraceful circumstance indeed. But it's good for us to notice in this portion of Scripture how the Holy Spirit draws our attention to Abram and to Lot. And it is as if the Holy Spirit is drawing a contrast between the two. There you have Abram, who is the father of the faithful. There is a man who is following the Lord. Here's a man who wants to do all that he can for God to the best of his ability. And it is as if God is saying to us, follow Abram. Walk in the footsteps of Abram. Do the kind of things that Abram does. Lot, on the other hand, is different. His life comes to us as a warning from God. The red light of danger shines out from the life of Lot. And God is really saying to us, don't tread in his footsteps. Don't make the mistakes that Lot made. Don't do the things that Lot did. And there's a contrast between them. Now, both of them are the children of God. Both of them, as we will see, know the Lord as their Savior. But the Lord says, do what one does, and don't do what the other does. And the question that comes to us today, and the challenge that comes to our lives from these two men, is which one are you following? Child of God here today, are you following in the footsteps of spiritual Abraham, or are you going in the footsteps of carnal Lot? Which one is you today? That's the challenge that comes to our hearts. And I want us to take a look at Lot today especially, and as he's compared to Abram in this portion of Scripture. And there are a number of things about Lot that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture. But the first thing I want you to see is the standing that Lot possessed. Because we might say a lot that is bad about this man. We might say that he was a disgrace in many ways. We might speak about the fact that he went down into these wicked cities and dwelt there and so on. But the one thing that we would need to notice before we go on is that Lot was unquestionably an Old Testament believer. In other words, he was a saved man. That is why he could never have perished in the judgment of God. That is why when Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone was rained out of heaven, that is why Lot was saved, because he could not perish. He was one of God's people. He was one of the children of God. But you know, in many ways, I think that we might not have judged Lot to have been a believer if we had not got the word of God on the matter. But if you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and if you look at verses 7 and 8, it says there about Lot, after it speaks about Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that God delivered just Lot. Now I want you to notice what it says about him here. He is just. In other words, he is justified. And then it goes on and it says that he was vexed. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And then it says in the top of the verse that he was a righteous man. It says this, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So Lot is a man with many faults in his life. He does not leave us an example for us to follow. But the Spirit of God, summing up his life there in 2 Peter, says that he was a righteous man. He was just. Now how is that? How is that? How is this man just? How can the Holy Spirit of God set down a man who dwelt among the unrighteous and was a man who was drawn into the affairs of this wicked city? How can it say that he was a just man? You see, that's the thing that many unsaved people can't understand. You see, salvation in the end of the day is not a matter of what we do or what we have done or how we work. It is a matter of the grace of God. Now, it should be that a child of God follows the Lord. It should be that he should live a righteous life, and there should be some marks. And you can see the marks in Lot. Even though he was in that city, even though he was dwelling amongst the unrighteous, of his own free will he was there, yet it vexed his soul. He was not at home. He did not like it. He was spoiled to the world. And every true child of God, then we might feel, we might do things that are not right, but it vexes our souls. We cannot sin with impunity. It is something that will tug at the hearts, and we know that we're doing wrong. Now, if you're a professor today, and that is not the case, if you can sin with impunity and you can enjoy it, then there's something wrong, something dreadfully wrong. You're not saved. Now, we who are saved, we're not perfect. We are not perfect in any way. But at the same time, there's a change in the heart. There is a righteousness that has been given, and we cannot sin with impunity. There's something else that is true about us. We will never perish. Now, I want you to notice something about the fire that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. Turn again back to 2 Peter. And Peter tells us in his epistle, he speaks there about the ashes, so on. If you look in the previous verses to the one that we read, it speaks about the ashes of the place. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly. And it speaks about the fact that in Jude verse 7, that they suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, what is eternal fire? Eternal fire is the fire of hell. In Jude verse 7, it speaks of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And that was the fire and brimstone from hell itself. And God sent that fire in a singular warning to all that would live ungodly, that sooner or later they would suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. Now the only people in that city that escaped the vengeance of eternal fire were those that believed God. And that is something that you need to remember, unsaved person today. The only one that will escape the vengeance of eternal fire are those that are saved and washed in the precious blood. We might be imperfect. We might do things that you mightn't like and know that are wrong. And we own up to that today, and we say freely that we're not all we should be. But we're not depending on ourselves. We're depending on the grace of God that has transformed us. That grace that has put new life in our hearts. That grace that has turned us into new creatures. That makes us that we cannot sin with impunity. And has made us that we will never suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. Child of God, if you're saved today, thank God that you're saved from the vengeance of eternal fire. But if you're not saved, you come and you seek Him as your Savior and your Lord. We notice the standing that Lot possessed. He was an Old Testament believer. But then I want you to notice something else about Lot. Look at the standards that Lot espoused. Because though he was an Old Testament believer, and though he was a man who was the Lord's, he was what we would call today a carnal child of God. He was a man who was marked by continual flaws and defects. He was a worldly Christian. Now, after he and Abram came out of Ur of the Chaldees, everything went well for Lot for a long time. He stayed with Abram. And as long as he stayed with Abram and stayed where God wanted them to be, he prospered. His flocks and his herds began to grow. And as long as he followed God, God blessed his life. But look at what happened. Somewhere along the line, a little bit of discontent entered in. The flocks and herds of Abram and Lot got so big that there wasn't enough room for them both. And they became jealous of one another. And we read that the herdsmen of Lot's cattle strove with the herdsmen of Abram's cattle. And there was a strife because of a lack of space. But you notice that there was a discontent that entered in. Backsliding very often starts with that sense of discontent. Now, I don't know what you might be discontent over. The devil will put all sorts of things into our minds to be discontent over. But always backsliding starts with that little seed of discontent. That discontent with your lot. That discontent with somebody else. That discontent with what is happening. Oh, safeguard yourself. Warn yourself about that sense of discontent. But then it was decided that there would be a parting of the ways. And Abram gave Lot the first choice. Now, he shouldn't have had the first choice because Abram was the elder. But look at what it says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. When Lot was given the choice, it says, "And Lot lifted his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere." And then it says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan." Now, you notice that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. This is where Lot begins to walk by sight. He's not walking now by faith. He lifts up his eyes and he sees the well-watered plain. And he says to himself, that's the place where I'll get prosperity. That's the place where things will go well for me. He didn't look about the spiritual conditions. He never thought about what his family would do down in the plain or what it was like down there or about the spiritual welfare of his family. It says that he looked and he saw, and it seemed to him as if it was better down there. It was better in the world down there in the plain. It was better down there. Maybe you have looked with the eye of the flesh. You've looked at the watered plains of the world, and it looks so good. Not only did he look, but he went. It says in 13 verse 12 that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then we read that he got gradually sucked into Sodom. In Genesis chapter 12, we read that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But in 19, it says that he sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, that was a place of honour. That was a place where the counsellors were. So he was given a place of authority in the city of Sodom. Now here he is living in Sodom. Here he is fellowshipping in Sodom, promoted to a place of honor and esteem in Sodom. And it appears he married a woman in Sodom and had his family in Sodom. And here's a man whose standards have slipped. The Lord is not mentioned in his home. How do I know that? Well, we are told that when he was told about the judgment of God, he went and he warned his family about the judgment of God. And he told his daughters and his sons-in-law, and the Bible says that he seemed unto them as one that mocked. In other words, they thought he had a screw loose. They'd never heard him speak about this before. They'd never heard this kind of thing about the judgment of God, about a God who would deal with them because of their sin. And they thought he had gone a little bit screwy, had gone a little bit mad. Because Lot had never talked about those things before. Now Lot had never mentioned the things of God. So there he is, down in the plains of Sodom. Contrast that with the home of Abraham. Abraham dwelt in a tent. In fact, he was one of the most wealthy men of his day, but he dwelt in a tent. He had no abiding city. He was just passing through. He was a pilgrim on his way to glory. And Abram lived his life in the light of eternity. And God commended Abram's home. Because in Genesis 18 and verse 19, the Lord began to debate with himself if he would tell Abram the thing that he would do. And he said, yes, I'll tell him, because he orders his home. He's a man who has a home in which God is honored. But Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw the well-watered plains. He said, that's where I'll prosper. That's where I'll get on. But I want you to notice what happened when Lot and Abram separated. We read in Genesis chapter 13, if you look there, it says that God said to Abram, after Lot was departed from, look at verse 14. It says, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So the Lord said here, Lot's gone, he's way down to the plain. He thinks that's where he will prosper. But God says to Abram, look everywhere. Look at the mountains. Look at the plain. Look at all the land. Lot has got that plain, he thinks. But look at all the land, he says, I give it to you, everything. And it's a great illustration of that law in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because Lot thought he had everything, that he'd get everything in the world. But God said, no, Abram, it's yours. You're the one that is blessed. You're the one that will get everything in the end. And you know, Lot thought he was happy when he was going down to misery. We're told that he vexed his righteous soul every day. Every day he was unhappy. Every day he woke up, he loathed the fact that he dwelt in that city. But Abram was up on the hills. And God had promised him, to thee will I give this land and all that is in it. And child of God, the world might seem bright sometimes, but it's always better to follow the Lord. We notice the standing that Lot possessed and the standards that Lot espoused. He was a worldly Christian. And he went down to the plains. Maybe I'm speaking to someone today and you're going down to the plains. But I want you to see something else. Is that your position? Look at the suffering that Lot endured. Because he went down to the city. And you notice what happened to him. God warns him that there's going to be a judgment. And Lot begins to lose out. He, first of all, lost some of his daughters. The ones that were married in Sodom, they stayed there. Remember how the son-in-laws, they thought that Lot had lost his marbles, warning about the judgment of God. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. They wouldn't heed. They'd never been told about the things of God in their home. They'd never been taught. Child of God, teach your children. Teach them in the things of God. For if you don't, they'll grow up and they will turn away. And that's what happened. Lot lost his daughters. He may not have lost his life in Sodom, but he lost nearly everything else. He had to get out of Sodom. He had to leave suddenly. God, in fact, had to take him by the scruff of the neck and get him out in the end. And he lost all his material prosperity. He had, when he was with Abram, he had flocks, so many that he hadn't place to put them. When he comes out of Sodom, he has absolutely nothing. He dwells in a cave with the clothes that he's on him. That's all he has. He loses everything. He loses his comfort. He loses his wealth. And he loses any standing that he had. He loses everything. It never pays to follow the world. It never pays to follow the things of this old world in which we live. We miss out. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, Christ is spoken of as the foundation of the Christian life. And it says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then it gives some suggestions about the things that we can build upon the foundations and the materials that we can use. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Now those are good materials to build with. Those are lasting materials. But amazingly, it goes on to speak about other materials that sometimes are used. Wood, hay, or stubble. Now, as the children of God, we have a foundation to build on. I wonder what kind of materials we are using. Because the Bible goes on to say that these works will be tried by fire. Now, the wood and the hay and the stubble will not last. The wood and the hay and the stubble will not endure into eternity. It's only those things of wood or of gold and silver and precious stones. Those are the things that will last. Now it speaks about those that build with wood, hay and stubble. And the Bible says that they are saved because of the foundation. But it uses this little expression. They are saved so as by fire. W.T.P. Nicholson used to use the expression, saved by the skin of your teeth. Saved and almost just saved, if we could use that expression. I wonder if that's a description of you, Christian. Saved so as by fire. Saved but nothing, as it were, to carry into eternity. You're building with wood and hay and stubble. You see, here was carnal Lot. He thought he would have it all. He could have his standing with God, but he could have the world as well. But he missed out. And he lost nearly everything. But Abraham dwelt with God on those mountains. And he never had a dwelling place to call his own. He dwelt in tents. But you know, in the end, he's the one that is blessed of God. In the end of the day, man, woman, young person today, the only thing that really matters is how we stand with God. How we stand as far as eternity is concerned. Where do you stand? Are you following spiritual Abram? Or are you following carnal Lot? Oh, let's follow the Lord today. Let's follow him No matter how much hardship it means, no matter how much difficulty it seems to bring us, let's follow the Lord today. And follow Him every step of the way. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Amen. Let's just bow.